worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. Got a bunch of different articles I've been working on trying to get some good information for you guys. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great. I was on with Herman Bailey this morning. The show will be airing on June the 8th on the Christian Television Network to about 48 million households. So I'll let you guys know the exact times when it gets closer, but it'll be on June the 8th. It was a tape show. We did it with Herman. He wants to have me back on again, and he wants to do two shows with me this time instead of a half-hour show. He wants me to basically stay for two one-half-hour shows, which is better for me anyhow because I can't say a whole lot in 27 minutes. And then by the time you do the introductions and the music and the bump-ins and the bump-outs, it's about 24 minutes. And it's not a whole lot of time for four people to talk on a show.
No.
So that's why, that's one of the reasons I wanted to, and the reason I'm saying that is this. Hey guys, you know, Health Masters brings you this show. That's why we thank you for supporting Health Masters. It bought the entire clock. So in case you wonder why there aren't any commercials in this show, there's supposed to be commercials to pay for the show. There aren't. Health Masters brought you the entire show. And that's why we wanted to do it this way, because I did not want to turn this thing into a, you know, every 7 to 12 minutes to 7 minutes to 3 minutes like it's on GCN. You got another commercial. When I sub-hosted that show for Joyce last year, the Joyce Riley Power Hour, Joyce, you know, gave me the opportunity to do that. It was absolutely wonderful. But the problem is I could never get used to the clock. It's always commercials, commercials, commercials. Finally, I told the board operator, look, mute the commercials. I don't want to listen to them. They're the same ones over and over and over again. They're driving me nuts doing the show, hearing these same ridiculous commercials all the time. And I don't want to be involved with this. I said, I'm sorry the listeners have to listen to this. So we had an opportunity to do several different networks, and then we decided to go ahead and go with Daystar because we had the opportunity here to have the entire clock and control it. So that's why we did what we did as far as the Daystar network, which was a great move on my part because Todd's been absolutely wonderful to work with. And now that Hagman and Dave Hodges are both on the same network with me, it makes a huge, huge difference as far as us working together synergistically. So thank you guys for listening. One thing I wanted to share with you guys real quickly, someone sent me an email, and it was saying that I was basically adding stuff to the gospel of Christ when I talked about the synergy that we have and the power of the words that we speak and all the things that happen in the holograph. That's not true. I'm not adding anything to the Bible. It's not thus saith the Brower. We are saved by faith through grace through the Lordship of our Jesus Christ, who came and who died for us. I am adding nothing else to the death, burial, and resurrection and our hope that we have in Christ Jesus. When I explain things to you about how the holographic universe works, the only thing I'm saying to you is this. We are in a physics experiment, so to speak. Here's how it works. Here are the energy fields that we're in. This is what's happening. It has nothing to do with salvation at all. The Bible is very clear with that as far as what it takes to be saved. So guys, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He died, He rose again for our sins. He shed His blood for us, which I've gone into detail of why He shed His blood and what the blood does and how it heals us as far as my opinion on how that happens. If you don't want to believe what I say about that, that's okay. Just believe it by faith because that's what the Word says. But guys, I add nothing to the Word of God that's not there already. All I try to do is clarify some of the physics behind these things that are happening in this world and these portals that are being opened by CERN. And guys, if you don't get all of this information that I'm telling you, that's okay. It took me a long, long time to get it too. Just start doing your own research. Just start pulling your own articles up on this information and realize that I'm doing the best I possibly can trying to explain a very complex, very difficult interdimensional subject, and that's why I've tried to go into such detail with it, especially on the Hagman shows. What do you think, Oz?
No, I think that's a very good clarification of that, because that's exactly what we've done. Is, you know, we try and give people the best information we can get, and that's why we do the show. And this right here, this one I wanted to start off with today. I'll actually be posting this on the website if it's not already up. I'm going to have to double check here in a second. This was from Harvard PhD Tetniana Albrehakeny. I can spell her last name right. I think I butchered it. But what she did is she wrote an open letter to the legislators in California about SB 277. Now, first off, this doctor, she has a PhD in immunology from Harvard. This is not some yak running their mouth on YouTube for their 5 minutes of fame. She wrote this really, really, really detailed, documented letter to the legislators in California, basically scolding them repeatedly about what they've done now over there with that SB 277 law and not allowing people to basically go to school systems or anything else. I'll put it up on the website. I can't, the whole thing, it takes too long to go over on the show today, but just a couple, it's not, she doesn't go on here and she's not this anti-vaccine person where it's like, all vaccines are bad, they're horrible, you can never use a vaccine, period, this is it. She has really legitimate arguments and documentation that she puts in here and has really valid points. One thing she put in here was the hepatitis B requirement. She said hepatitis B is a blood-borne virus. It does not spread in a community setting, especially among children who are unlikely to engage in high-risk behaviors such as needle sharing or sex. Vaccinating children for hepatitis B cannot significantly alter the safety of public spaces. Further, school admission is not prohibited for children who are chronic hepatitis B carriers. Prohibiting school admission for those who are simply unvaccinated and do not carry Hep B would constitute unreasonable and illogical discrimination. And she just has some really valid points in here that I want you guys to read, because this isn't, like I said, just some rant about vaccines. This stuff's very documented, and she's very educated. One thing she said in here that I liked a lot, she said, how often do serious vaccine adverse events happen? She said, it is often stated that vaccinations rarely lead to serious adverse events. That's not what we say. That's what the mainstream media says, and that's what the pediatrics always say. Oh, it's rare that it's actually caused by this. She said, unfortunately, this statement is not supported by science. A study done in Ontario, Canada, established that vaccination directly leads to an emergency room visit for 1 in 168 children following their 12-month vaccination appointment. 1 in 168 children, guys. Now, I don't know. Some people may say, well, it's not that significant. It's not 1 out of 4. How bad does it have to be? There's 168 light switches on the wall. If your kid flips the wrong one, they immediately go to the hospital and possibly may die. To me, as a parent, that's still not worth the risk to me. And a lot of the other information you can look at in this article. So I posted online at healthmasters.com. You guys can take a look at it. It's really interesting.
Wow, Austin, that's a great article. You know, whenever these PhDs from Harvard actually come out and they go against their programming, because that's a very difficult school to break your programming from.
Oh,
those
yeah.
Those guys, they don't hand out PhDs. I remember when, I remember my sister has a doctorate in science, is an DSC from Harvard, along with a medical degree from the University of Florida. And she had a fit of a time getting them to award a doctorate to her from Harvard. In fact, she finally went to the people and said, look, what else do you want me to do? I've done this. This is ridiculous. You guys are doing this. And finally, they went ahead and awarded her the doctorate. Harvard is just one of those places, and they're very careful in who they get the doctorates from, because when you start saying I have a PhD or a doctorate from Harvard or a Harvard Law doctorate, all of a sudden, you know, people know that's the number one school in America as far as from a liberal arts standpoint. And, you know, you took a lot just to get there and get into these Ivy League schools, because they turned out, give me an example. These are just rough numbers, but I remember them. If they get a probably the top 0.1% of all the students apply to these Ivy League school, and only like the top 0.1% of the applicants are accepted. It's some number like that. It's some insane number. So it's very difficult to get in there, and it's very difficult to get a PhD from those types of places too. Here's an interesting article from says aspartame is a hidden Schedule II narcotic. Now I have to do some research on this. It says artificial sweetener aspartame is indeed a Schedule II narcotic because it is methanol, and aspartame affects dopamine levels in the brain. Now I think it's the aspartic acid receptors that do that, which can lead to addiction. Methanol or wood alcohol is classified as a severe metabolic poison. Now what I found with aspartame is that it contains phenylalanine aspartic acid, and we have an aspartic acid receptor in the brain which releases the dopamine, which triggers it and makes it very, very addictive. Now that's what I've found to see on that. So I'll have to do some more research into this as far as what I believe or not believe on that, but I believe I'm pretty correct on that because I've done a whole bunch of research on it. Now here's another interesting thing. A Texas school has now told the National Honor Society that they may not allow the students who are graduating to wear a banner because for the National Honor Society, because it's unfair for the kids who don't have the banner, and it's kind of I mean I don't even I mean how do you even do this
for everyone
This is from Breitbart. It's a school in Plano, Texas, denying the National Honor Society members to wear the NHS emblem on white soles for graduation. The reason given one says one another, graduates may not wear any club or organization regalia, and they cannot single out students. Kellyanne Frederick says that she was told by a National Honor Society sponsor that the school officials wanted everyone to feel included on graduation day. She was told that the school administrator did not want to single out any students. Her son has worked for many years for the right to be recognized for an honor student, but he will not be able to wear that. Again, a trophy for everybody. Who wants a trophy? I love this one. Everybody's got to watch this video from the Gateway Pundit. It says, Obama tries to trash Donald Trump and it turns into a stuttering mess. The lame duck president went to Indiana today to hold a rally and trash talk Donald Trump, but apparently his teleprompter went bad. Barack Obama, if we turn against each other on division of race, religion, if we fall for you, you know, a bunch of okie dokie, okay, just because you know it, oh, okay, oh, you know it, it. I mean, are you kidding me? You take this boy off his teleprompter and he kind of falls apart. So I'm going to have to play that one for you guys. I'm going to pull it up here in just a second. So what do you think about that, Austin? Let's see if you hear it, let's see if it plays. So hang on. Let me play it. Hang on one second. See if I can pick this up.
To campaign for Hillary. Listen.
If we turn against each other based on divisions of race or religion, if we fall for, you know, a bunch of okie doke, just because it sounds funny or the tweets are provocative.
I mean, you know.
Then we're not going to build on the progress that we started.
I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, you pull the boy away from his teleprompter, and he can't talk. It's kind of strange. It's like the programming, I guess, he got from Tavistock training or whoever programmed the boy didn't teach him how to speak without a teleprompter. Son, what do you think about that?
It is funny. We've seen that before, many a times. As soon as the teleprompter goes down or something happens with it, I mean, or if he tries to make an impromptu kind of speech, he kind of just starts going off. And I mean, you know, not everybody's born for public speaking, but you would kind of expect the President of the United States to have some finesse and tact and be able to speak properly and not just kind of ramble on over himself when the teleprompter goes down. So I find that pretty humorous. Not much surprises me with that man, though.
Well, I mean, I don't normally play stuff like that on my show, but it was even my interpretation of what he said couldn't do what he did, and I just want you guys to know that I wasn't making it up. By the way, the Rothschild boys are at it again. The European Commission is seeking a temporary approval for glyphosate. Here we go. This is from Sustainable Pulse. The European Commission is seeking political backing to allow unrestricted use of the controversial weed killer glyphosate by labeling the decision as a temporary decision, warned Greenpeace. The Commission is scheduled to vote on an extension of the glyphosate license for Monday, June the 6th. The Commission's plan ignores scientific evidence that glyphosate is a probable cancer, not probable, it is, cancer-causing agent, and fails to limit human exposure. So here they go. They couldn't do it, Austin. Monsanto has that much power. The Rothschild boys have that much power. These interlocking corporate directorships have that much power. They're now seeking temporary approval for glyphosate. They can continue to spray the poison on the food of the population in Europe. Crazy. What do you think, son?
It doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, I have an article here, actually. I was going to get to it here shortly, but I'll just roll into it right now. This is a new landmark study that basically has refuted many of the claims that GMOs demonstrate the promises that the GMO agriculture like Monsanto have claimed. It goes on here. It says a study by the National Academy of Sciences concluded that GMO farming practices have directly created pesticide-resistant insects and herbicide-resistant superweeds that now constitute a major agricultural problem. The research also found that herbicide-resistant GMOs have led to an increase rather than decrease in toxic chemical use, which we already know, and that they fail to increase crop yields for farmers. The report concludes that the adoption of Roundup-resistant GMOs led farmers to dramatically increase their use of Roundup on their fields, thereby directly leading to the evolution of Roundup resistance in agricultural weeds. Super weeds such as the six-foot-tall Palmer pigweed are now so out of control that they threaten farmers' profits, the complete opposite of what farmers were promised by the GMO companies. They've also shown that the use of BT crops, which is another form of the GMO ones, they basically they produce their own pesticide as a BT toxin is what they do. The BT crops have actually accelerated the evolution of BT resistance in insect pests, such as the pink bollworm. So we're seeing now more and more that we already knew this, but, I mean, it's actually becoming mainstream now that Monsanto's glyphosate and their GMO crops have done nothing but hurt and hinder the actual growth of food, which is the complete opposite of what they stand on. They claim it's not toxic. They claim it increases yield. They claim it's going to make food harvest easier. They claim it's going to be able to be brought to third world countries and help their food supply. And every single thing they've said is a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. It shows you how Monsanto is just a globalist corporation. They have no intent on trying to help the general population of the entire world. All they want to do is make more money, and at the same time making more money, they essentially want to deteriorate, corrupt, and break down the entire food supply chain so eventually they can have their own little monopoly on everything and control and dictate who gets food, where food goes, how it's grown. That's what they're doing. This is the whole end game with this, guys. It's not just GMO foods right now and they cause cancer. Granted, that's a huge aspect. This is the final end game with them. They want to dictate where food grows, how it grows, and where it goes in the entire world. The only way to do this is to cause these significant problems to happen, and they're doing an incredibly good job at it. Now you see they've leached their way back in to the European Union again. I mean, I don't know what more else to say about it. Monsanto is probably you know, right-hand man to the devil. I'm pretty anti-Monsanto.
I call them the uber evil corporation. I mean, they're awful. But again, you've got to look at the interlocking corporate directorships and who own these things. But you're absolutely right, Austin. It's all about food production and food non-production and getting their Terminator genes in all of the food supply so farmers can no longer control the food and that they have to buy the seed from Monsanto. And then if a certain geographical area, like Venezuela, so to speak, decides they don't want to play the games with the bankers and the Khazaria mafia no longer can rule there, and they basically say, well, we're going to do this. We're going to let you just go into some kind of insane, life there for a couple of months, let you go and start eating your pets and dogs and cats and pigeons, and then we'll show you who really runs the world. That's how they look at all of us, guys. I mean, if you think you're an American, because you're an American, they like you. They're dragging in militant Muslims from all over the planet and bringing them in here on C-130 transport planes in the middle of the night to bypass immigration. Are you joking me? They don't like you. They're trying to undermine the entire population of the United States. They're scared to death of Donald Trump. They're scared to death that Donald Trump may do what Donald Trump said he's going to do. And so they don't want people to know that this shadow government has been running the country since 1934. They don't want people to know that. If the American population knew that, what's left of us, you know, would rise up in arms against what's going on in the government. But as long as people get their food stamps, as long as people get their meds, as long as they keep the money flowing and the spigots opened up from the Federal Reserve Bank, and as long as they can buy their cars and their homes and have their fancy, you know, little TV sets and iPhones, everybody's happy. And see, and so when everything starts to change is when people can't get the stuff they want. So if we ever lose the reserve currency status of the planet, we're going to find out really, really quickly who wants to take our American dollars any longer, Austin. This is going to be a major bloodshed for everybody. Here's an interesting thing in Germany right now from Sputnik News. German voters have had enough. Over two-thirds of them want Merkel out. They believe that Chancellor Angela Merkel overcommitted national resources for the refugee crisis and are increasingly frustrated with bailing out of the continued economic struggles of other EU member states. Just under a third of Germans are answering a questionnaire call for their country to abandon the European Union. Now a third want the union, they want out of the European Union altogether. According to a EU government poll released Wednesday, signaling a growing discontent within the bloc's largest member state, a majority of Germans have traditionally been fervent sponsors of the EU compared to the other countries in the economic alliance. Now here's the reason that Germany is able to do this, and I'm going to tell you this in detail because this is just how it works. Germany has a massive, massive productivity you know, mindset. They produce a lot of stuff. I mean, they're like the third largest economy in the world, and they're the size of Texas, right? They're huge. Everybody works all the time. You know, it's like in Germany, my mom trained me, man muss immer arbeiten, which means you have to always work. You have to work all the time. You don't get to retire. You don't get to check out. You don't do anything. You just have to keep working. I guess mom's probably still working in the grave because she's been dead for 10 years. May she rest in peace. It was one of those deals. It was always, always, always that German work ethic, that Protestant mindset that was taught to us in business school back in 1980 when I graduated from Florida State with my MBA, and they told us basically that it was the Protestant work ethic that had built the United States. Now, they've taken that teaching out. They don't even teach that anymore. That's something from 35, 40 years ago. That's no longer allowed. Those words, Protestant work ethic, are verboten. Now it's the Judeo-Christian values, okay? Well, I don't understand how those are values and how they lock together, because the Jews don't believe in Christ. The Jews don't use the Torah anymore. They use the Babylonian Talmud. The Jews don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. If you read the Talmud, they say bad things about Jesus. The Jews weren't here with the founding of our country and fighting of all of the wars. And it just didn't exist that way. But now suddenly, because of the Scofield Bible, we now have the Judeo-Christian work ethic. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not going to be going for some big tantrum about that right now, but it doesn't make any difference. But Germany produces a huge amount of product that they send out to the whole world, creating a giant trade surplus for Germany. They bring in hundreds of billions of dollars more, which funds their budget and their economy. They don't have to go into deficit spending, and they don't have to sell their bonds on what they're doing to pay for their place in the EU. In other words, they have a surplus. They're not going into debt every year to the Rothschild banking cartel like we are when we have a deficit. So that allows them to put these huge amount of goods and services. I mean, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, you know, Volkswagen. These are some of the top car brands. They're all made in Germany. I mean, Lamborghini is now owned by Volkswagen. I mean, Rolls-Royce is now owned by BMW. I mean, these are all German brands. And so what's happening is the people in Germany have finally begun to realize that this is not what they thought it was going to be. That the EU means that there's a whole bag of snakes that came with it, and now they're having to fund and bail out all these countries like Greece that don't have the productivity. See, this is a mismatch. You can't put these different countries together because of the work ethics and because of the industrial capacity of these different countries. That's why you can't force these countries to produce and maintain their budgets. That's why it was easier when Greece had its own drachma and it could inflate or deflate the currency as it needed it. Same thing with the Italian euro, same thing with the French franc. All of these countries needed their ability to adjust their currencies accordingly. They can't do that anymore. They've all been tied into the European Union with the euro, and it's all based upon this incredible blockbuster ability of Germany to mass produce outbound, you know, person for person, outproduce the entire planet. It's crazy what's going on over there. Austin, what do you think?
Well, it is, and you know, it's funny because we talked about it this week. What's going on in with Twitter and Facebook and Microsoft and YouTube and all this stuff now, where they basically sided with the European Union pledge on completely blocking hate speech. I think you talked about this yesterday. I talked to Harrison about it today too, and they're in full swing now as far as flagging anybody, removing any type of post, you know, that are illegal hate speech and criminalizing perpetrators. And then as Europe does, what we're going to start doing here is promoting the independent counter narratives that basically the government approves of. And now we see that, you know, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook has followed this from Europe. Now the EU is proposing government IDs to use the internet, which they've already discussed this before. Now they're trying to push it through. They said it will eradicate all hate speech. And what it's going to do is it's going to eliminate all online privacy and all free speech. It's spearheaded by a former communist official, Andrew Anspin. The European Commission published a draft document outlining its proposed electric ID that would not only allow the EU to track what you say online, but also what you buy. To sum it up, the EU wants to monitor everything Europeans do online by having all their internet activities linked to a government ID, which will annihilate any type of privacy whatsoever. Now that we see YouTube, Facebook, all these guys following the European model of completely blocking free speech, there's a good possibility that these companies now are going to follow this if Europe starts doing a national internet ID, we're probably going to be following it pretty soon, which that's the overall goal of the globalists, because as you've talked about before, Dad, the internet has been a giant thorn in their side because of how much information is put on the internet now that's free for anybody to look at. They have to figure out a way to block this, and one of the first ways to do that is to block free speech all under the guise of terrorism and hate speech. I hate to tell you guys, the whole thing with the internet and hate speech is a total sham. I mean, if you get offended by what somebody says online, don't read their post. Don't go on their Facebook page. Don't respond to them. Just, it's that simple. I don't understand where everybody thinks this is okay now, this you can't say anything bad, or, you know, if it offends me, you can't say it. I don't care. If it offends you, oh well, that's just life. You get over it, things happen, and you move on with your life. You don't try and block everybody else's ability to speak freely because you get offended by somebody. And the problem is, a lot of Americans are actually really okay in supporting this type of behavior with these online companies now, and it's not okay. It's not okay at all. And if we keep following the European model of, you know, complete and total censorship, that's exactly what we're going to get.
No, I couldn't have said it any better, any more succinctly than that, Austin. That's exactly right. I mean, we're losing our First Amendments. You see, Germany doesn't have a First Amendment in their Constitution.
No.
The people don't get that, okay? There's words that are verboten. There's things that are verboten. I mean, you can't do certain things, say certain things, you get in trouble. I mean, you start criticizing the Muslims coming in, they start arresting you. But now the Germans finally had enough of it because too much of the secret police, the Stasi, and also with, you know, with the Gestapo. And there's too much of this in the collective mindset of Germany. They've been told to their parents and to the grandparents and the great-great-grandfathers that have told them all these stories that have been handed down. They don't want that to happen again. So I think Germany is starting to wake up and have enough of this mess, which I hope they have. But if they leave the EU, then the EU will completely fall apart. So I don't think that's going to happen because the monetary system is being controlled now by these Khazarian mafiosts through the entire EU. And so until we can cut the snake's head off and get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York and get rid of these the mafia-controlled, you know, it's a bank mafia is what it is. The mafia-controlled Bank of England, and get real money back out to the people and get rid of this mafia control. It's not going to be any better. That's why that one book that was written is so good. It's the CIA, the Mafia, and the Vatican, an Unholy Alliance. It's just amazing what I talk about, Operation Gladio. It's a good, phenomenal book. Everybody needs to read it. And this is what happens until we get rid of this snake that took over the United States. And that's what Andrew Jackson called them. He called them vipers. He said, I'm going to rout you out. I'm going to expose you. Kennedy said the same thing, and he was dead within a year. See, and Andrew, they tried to shoot Andrew Jackson twice. And he's the last president that paid off the national debt because he knew how to do it, and he knew he couldn't have a fiat currency. You can't do it. When you borrow your money at interest from an outside source, sooner or later you've got to pay the principal back, but the interest is never printed. So the interest can't be paid back, so they have to take bonds and treasury bills on the interest, which puts the country into debt to them. Look at Ecuador. Ecuador doesn't even have its own currency. Everything that it gets has to borrow from the Fed or from the Treasury or from the IMF at interest for their money. And it's ridiculous, Austin. They're getting deeper and deeper and deeper into debt in Ecuador, and they'll never pay it off. Because they, not only do they not control their own currency, they don't even have their own currency. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, here's another radioactive story of the millennium. This is TMR. It says this story is perhaps the most radioactive scandal of the millennium. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but it's getting traction now. It involves the House of Windsor and the Clinton political dynasty, a powerful neon Harvard-affiliated attorney, and both presumptive GOP and Democratic presidential nominees. What makes this story so reactive is that it's extremely dangerous and extraordinary legal precedent was set in Swank, Palm Beach, Florida. It involves with the convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, this is going to go back to this, in which Bill Clinton took multiple rides, almost 30 rides in this guy's jet. This thing is coming out. This is coming out like a big festering boil. This is not going to go away. And now, because of Bill Clinton's problems associated with the opposite sex and what he's done with Monica Lewinsky and being known as a serial rapist, according to Stone, it's going to be a major, major issue if it's been shown that Bill Clinton has had sex with underage girls. Because remember, Epstein had to settle some 30 cases of where people sued him civilly for basically using their daughters, underage daughters, for sex. I mean, this is a major problem, Austin. This is not going to go away. And I guarantee you, Donald Trump is not going to walk away from this. And he's going to talk about this. I guarantee it. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the reasons, I mean, he's even said that already before. You know, he's kind of kept everything at bay on his end with a lot of the advertisements. He's done some small basic stuff here and there, but primarily because, you know, he hasn't actually been nominated technically yet, and neither has Hillary. You know, there's no reason to start really pushing a lot of stuff yet until it becomes official. But I have a feeling that he's got a whole grocery bag full of stuff that's going to come out once him and Hillary go head-to-head. If he actually gets nominated, if the RNC doesn't try to figure out some weird, convoluted, twisted way to not allow him to get it, because I think that is... I don't know, guys. I'm really hoping that he can do what he needs to do, and I'm really hoping that he gets in there. But there's a good possibility these guys are going to try and pull something, because they don't want him running all these ads on Clinton. They don't want him being the next president of the United States. As we said before, he's too volatile to their program. He's going to change way too many things, and he's diametrically opposed to pretty much everything that globalists are for. So we'll see what happens with it. But yeah, Clinton's a nutbag. His wife's a witch. I mean, you name it. They're both a bunch of weirdos. The fact that she's even running for president, she still hasn't been indicted yet. In fact, she's not even in prison yet, just shows you how much leverage and pull and how many people they've killed to cover up so many different stories. Or else, I mean, it's almost a joke.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because, you know, she actually talks to dead people. I remember my oldest brother, and this is my half brother. He was born in Germany in 1941, by a different father, not my dad. And he ended up basically being in a situation where, he married a woman who was a lot older than him, and she was a gypsy. And she also had some other weird stuff going on in her life. And my mom was so mad that she married my brother and basically ruined his life, which she pretty much did. I hate to admit that she did. Now, I remember one time my mom came in the house and she was just like devastated, and Carl had come over, my brother, and was crying, and he said that Annalisa, what he say in German, it was sie ist in Verbindung mit ihrer toten Vater für die letzten zwei Wochen. Now, what that means in English is that she's been in a satanic trance talking to her dead father for the past 2 weeks, basically at home, you know, in this trance. And I know that sounds crazy, because it is, but when these weird people and these gypsies and these fortune tellers, and they look in crystal balls and they start looking in these other worlds and they start linking up and start doing this kind of stuff, they're messed up. And see, that's why the Bible says over and over and over in the Old Testament, you don't get involved with them. It happened with Saul and Samuel. You can read all the stories you want on all that in the Old Testament. And God says you don't do it. You don't go to these guys who are clairvoyants, who can look into these other dimensions and start talking to these people. You don't do all of that stuff. And he warns them not to do it in the Bible. In fact, it was punishable by death. But this is some crazy stuff. So when Hillary Clinton says that she's actually talking to Eleanor Roosevelt, I believe that she believes that she really is doing that, because we already know that she's a witch. Okay, so then we know that she's a witch, and she's talking to Eleanor Roosevelt. Bill Clinton is a pedophile. Can the Democratic Party not find anybody else to run besides Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton? I mean, honestly, I know they have spent hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, building up this brand image of Hillary, okay, whatever that brand image is. But, you know, for the rest of us that are looking at this from an outside standpoint, I mean, it's like they said in that movie Gladiator, is there no one else? I mean, are you joking? Is there no one else? Or that, maybe that was the one with Brad Pitt with Troy. I'm not sure which movie it was. But, I mean, the thing about it is that if this is the best the Democratic Party has to come up with, if this is the best this Khazarian Rothschild mafia can do, is to bring us up a woman whose husband has ridden 30 times on a known pedophile's jet to their Lolita Express, they called it, to this island out in the Caribbean where they had all these young girls placed. If this is the best thing that they can bring up, a woman who speaks to dead people and is a witch and who can't stop coughing and hacking when she's trying to talk, in addition to that, she can't stop lying. It's unbelievable who let all those boys die in Benghazi. Is this the best? Do they really think that the American population has become this brain dead from statin drugs, tricyclic antidepressants, fluoride, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. You know, do they really think that we've gone so far down this slippery path of basically amnesia and senile dementia that we can't see what's going on? I mean, I'm getting gassed, you know, in the RV today in Lakeland, and the guy at the gas pumps, I said to him, I said, what do you think about Hillary? He goes, oh, don't get me started. He goes, she belongs in jail. This is the guy pumping the gas at Sam's, right? And the guy, then another guy walks up and says, can you believe she's even running for the presidency? That woman belongs in jail. This is at Sam's pumping gas. I mean, is this the best they have, Austin? Isn't there another Democrat who's willing to take on the mantle? I mean, why don't we get another Democrat like John F. Kennedy? I could support him. I like him because he wouldn't follow their plank at all. He never did. That's why they killed him. I mean, this is insanity what they've done and what they believe that we're going to vote for. Unless, now I give it this caveat, unless this election has already been fixed, unless the fix is already in with the die ball voting machines, unless it's already predetermined who's going to win this election, and they don't care. And they're just shoving it down our throat to let us know that we are a taken nation and that we've already been subjected to slavery. Now, that could be it too. But we'll find out come the fall, and we'll come to find out when they start running these billions of dollars of TV advertising that we have to watch. And we'll be talking about some of the ads they run, and we'll be playing a few of them and laughing about them, because the truth of the matter is, it's going to be a free-for-all. It's going to be unlike any campaign we've ever seen, Austin, with Donald Trump in the driver's seat. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. It is. Here's another article, health article that I wanted to bring up too. The blockbuster drug Lyrica, I guess that's how you pronounce it. Lyrica.
That's Lyrica.
Lyrica. There we go. Pregabalin is what the actual name is. Treats pain, epilepsy, and anxiety. It actually triples the risk of birth defects if a pregnant woman takes the drug during her first trimester. What's crazy about it now is they've been doing research on it as far as the usage of it. And, of course, this compound's made by Pfizer. Tragically, around 23% of women are prescribed this drug for the first time only after they have become pregnant, says researchers from the Lausanne University Hospital in Switzerland. Researchers compared the birth outcomes of 134 women taking this while pregnant and compared them to 656 pregnant women who were not taking the medication. 6% of the women taking the drug gave birth to children with major birth defects, and this compared to just 2% in the non-drug group. Now, listen to the numbers I just said that, guys. 164 of the women were taking the drug. 656 of the women were not taking the drug, which means there was only a sixth of the population in the test group that were taking this Lyrica stuff. So the numbers on here are incredibly aggressive on how toxic this stuff is. They said 77% had been taking the drug before they were pregnant, 23% were prescribed it after they were pregnant, and there was direct correlation with severe major birth defects when taking this stuff. So do yourself a favor, guys, and I was very strict about this with Lana. You know, if you find out that you become pregnant, the first thing you guys need to do if you're on any medication is talk to your doctor and discuss with them about getting off of it. I really don't care what type of medication it is. That's my personal opinion. If you choose to do differently, obviously that's your choice. But in my opinion, if you have a woman or a wife or a girlfriend that becomes pregnant, she's taking medication, the first thing you need to do is look into other options and getting off that medication, because this stuff, besides just this product, all these other drugs have a host of different side effects on the person taking them, much less the pregnant fetus that she's carrying. Remember, guys, Pfizer was fined $2.3 billion in 2009 for off-label use, which is what this product's been used for. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to be addressed as far as the off-label use with a lot of these medications, and also, too, the usage of these in pregnant women. So I wanted to address that with you guys. If you're taking it, or you know anybody that's taking it and you become pregnant, do some research on it, guys, and figure out some other options, because it's not worth the birth defects. But you got 9 months to build this child. That 9 months is going to dictate the next 80 to 90 years of that child's life. 9 months, you can do anything for 9 months. You can pull through it. You can hold strong. But it's all about that main nine-month period of building the child. And there's not much I tell people you can't do for 9 months, especially when it comes down to the health and integrity of your child.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, one of the other things we tell people to do is to absolutely do not be doing flu shots when you're pregnant. Don't be taking any kind of shots when you're pregnant, period. Just don't do it. Just take your supplements, eat right, take them, make sure you have enough biotin, make sure you get enough folates, make sure they're methylated. I mean, just it's really important that, you know, you don't end up with spinal bifida in these kids. And if you find out you're pregnant, immediately go to your doctor, like Austin says, and make sure that the meds you're taking aren't going to have side effects. And if he doesn't know, go talk to your pharmacy and then try to find out how to titrate off the dosing. Because the truth of the matter is, women, if you're smoking, stop smoking. Just stop smoking if you're pregnant. Just stop. Okay, if you're drinking alcohol, I mean, are you living in a cave? I mean, do you not know about what it does to the brain development of a child? I mean, fetal alcohol syndrome? I mean, you know, don't do that. See, again, a lot of people can get pregnant, but it doesn't mean they're going to be good mothers or they're going to be good pregnancy carriers. They don't care. That's why so many of these women just commit murder anyhow, as far as I'm concerned, and abort these babies. That's what they do. I mean, that's their choice. It's legal, so I guess they're not going to be convicted for it. But the point is, I mean, the truth is this. I mean, you know, if they're willing to kill their child through abortion, they don't have any interest in eating right when that child is inside them. That's the truth. I'm just going to be honest with you. If I'm wrong, you guys shout me down. But I'm telling you, you know, it's just a mindset. And guys, listen to me. This is what's happened to the country. The country has fallen down the slippery slope of political correctness and just euthanasia. And we don't think twice now about killing children. I mean, just don't mean 60 million babies dead like since 1973. Are you kidding me? Do you realize that that's the – we've had 100 million people come into the United States through, you know, immigration, primarily from South America in the last 50 years. And, you know, and the whole thing about it is if we hadn't had the immigration coming in, we'd be in a negative population growth. We wouldn't have grown at all because, you know, we have aborted so many children. And see, the thing about it is, guys, is this. You know, we've got to ask ourselves a question. What has allowed society to deteriorate like this? Well, the truth is we've lost our way. We've lost our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Protestant work ethic, the pilgrims, the Christians are the ones who came over to this country. I mean, newsflash for you guys who weren't taught this in high school. This is who started this country. It was the Christians. They wanted to have freedom of religion. That was the primary reason they moved from England, because they were being completely dominated by the Church of England. Plus, they were all being put into certain groups, and once you were in a certain group, you could never get out of that. Remember, they still have the royals in England. If you're not a knight or you're not a lord, you can never achieve the social status that you're capable of. When the Constitution made us sovereign citizens in the United States and we broke away from England, we placed ourselves in the citizens of the United States equivalent with the King of England. We said, we're as you are now, we're sovereign citizens. We answer to nobody. You do not rule us anymore. And then we basically had our great experiment of the United States and the Christianity. And then what ended up happening is from the very beginning, it was being attacked by this evilness that is from Lucifer, that goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, that's being controlled by this Khazarian mob with these banksters, and it goes all the way back into the 1600s and the 1700s, and with, you know, Sabbatane Levy and the Napoleonic Wars and Rothschild and Jacob Frank, and all these guys were involved in all of this stuff. The Russian Revolution, you've got to understand what history is and where it's coming from. And this whole teaching goes back all the way into the Druids, all the way back into Stonehenge, all the way back to the Tower of Babel, all the way back to Nimrod. It all comes back to this. It's all about turning upside down God's creation and becoming as God. It goes right back to the lie in the Garden of Eden when basically Lucifer came to Eve and says, you can be as God, knowing the difference of good and evil, and you shall live forever. Well, that was all a bunch of lies. Because number one, in the spirit world, we were already going to live forever anyhow. And number two, there's no guarantee, since they were in God's image, that they were ever going to die anyhow. You didn't know, wouldn't they? I mean, because God had to detune the DNA, because they were living to be 1,000 years old anyhow before the flood. Some of these guys, 400, 500, 600, 800 years old. So the whole thing's a giant lie of the devil to turn upside down all of God's creation. And that's what's happened to the United States, Austin. That's where we have found ourselves now, after the 60, 70, 80 years of political correctness and allowing these mobsters, these Khazarian mobsters, to come in, take over the country in 1913, to the Federal Reserve Act, then the income tax, you know, all the stuff they're doing. And then in 1934, with the Exchange Stability Fund, that's our secret government, our shadow government that runs everything through the Treasury. That's what's going on. is absolutely nuts. Here's another article, exclusive by the Huffington Post writer. Editors deleted my article on Hillary's imminent indictment, disabled me from writing the article. This is from the Huffington Post. This has been reported on Breitbart. Washington, D.C., a letter writer for the Huffington Post is still waiting for an explanation as to why two editors deleted his piece reporting that the FBI will pursue an indictment against Hillary Clinton. Huffington Post freelance contributor Frank Hugegaard, a scientist and public speaker, wrote a report for the liberal site Sunday entitled Hillary Clinton to be indicted on federal racketeering charges, but the piece was not up for long before the Huffington Post pulled it down and replaced it with a 404 error screen. And now that he wants to know why he's being censored like this. And you know what, guys? It's going to be interesting to see if this lady really, really, really gets indicted. Because, guys, it's one of those things. Who's running the country? And that's what I want to know. What do you think's going to happen, Oz?
Well, the thing that we're seeing now is there's more and more, because they see the American population's waking up, we're seeing more lopsided propaganda from the globalists. They're just pushing this rhetoric over and over again. And then on top of it, they're doing what this guy's experiencing, is they're censoring everything. Same thing they're doing with Twitter and Facebook now. Anything that doesn't fit the narrative that they want you to believe, they're censoring it. I mean, it's so far now that even Obama is going on and basically blaming right-wing radio for thinking big government is the problem. This is from yesterday. President Obama visited Elkhart, Indiana on Wednesday. In a town hall meeting, he blamed right-wing radio for distorting his economic record and for making people think big government is the problem. He goes on and says, I hope you don't mind me being blunt about this, but I've been listening to this stuff for a while now, and I'm concerned when I watch the direction of our politics. He goes, we've been hearing the stories for decades about welfare, about the 47%. He goes, it's a story that's broadcasted every day on news stations and on right-wing radio, which is referring to stuff like us and Alex Jones and Hagman. He goes, it's pumped into cars and bars and VFW halls all across America and right here in Elkhart. And if you're hearing that story all the time, you start believing it. It's no wonder people think big government is the problem. Again, this is more propaganda. He has to try and brainwash the people. This is what they do. Hitler was great with this. I think it was Goebbels, as far as the one that was the main one, instrumental in the Nazi propaganda, wasn't it, Deb?
Yes, in fact, he said if you tell a lie big enough and you tell it often enough, the population will embrace the lie and they will start to believe the lie. See, yep. See, if the lie is huge enough, if it's big enough, nobody will believe it's a lie because it's too big.
Yeah.
He can't say that, because if that wasn't true, he never would have said that. That's too big of a lie. It's got to be true. Well, no, that's how the Nazis were able to do what they did and basically brainwash the entire German population into believing this lie. But again, remember, Hitler started off with a whole bunch of truth. He talked about the international banking community and how they had taken over and destroyed Germany through the Weimar Republic, how they had capitulated on the Treaty of Versailles, how they had done, and he put all of this truth into everything. And so what happened is he was able to weave the truth in and get a scapegoat. And when he got the scapegoat, then he was able to build on the rhetoric of the scapegoat. And a lot of what he said, though, and you got to remember this, the German people are pretty doggone smart. A lot of what he said was true. And that's how he was able to galvanize the German people. But then once he took power in 33 and became Fuhrer, then he could do anything he wanted to do, Austin, including dragging them into that World War II conflict, which should have never, ever, ever happened. It's ridiculous what happened over there. What's your next story, Austin?
It was. We're seeing now more and more over in Europe now, the government and the state is siding with the immigrants now. This is a local article from Sweden. A local family in the Swedish city of Lidingö has been ordered by the government to leave their home so the migrants arriving from the foreign countries can basically have it. Father of two teenage boys received a voicemail from his local municipality telling him he would need to vacate the property by August in order to make way for asylum seekers from the Middle East. This is just mind-boggling to me that they actually treat their citizens like this. He states, I was evicted from my home over the phone. When I asked the reason, he said that people from other countries in the Middle East need the housing. He left the news and basically told me to have a nice weekend. He's got two sons. He rents the home from the city and has been living there for a year. He states, I feel like I'm worthless. Even though I pay taxes and my kids go to school here, they're just putting our family out on the street. Despite suffering from a housing shortage, Sweden is handing over property to economic migrants, with some politicians even encouraging citizens to give up their garages to asylum seekers. Now, remember, guys, Germany is spending right now roughly about 600 million euros a year in just housing with migrants, including a lot of upmarket Berlin hotels, apparently, while the 10,000 roughly homeless German citizens that, you know, Germany has, the homeless population, still remain on the streets by themselves without any type of housing support. So it's just, it's so crazy to me that these people, even if they're globalist shills, even if they have this whole Agenda 21 program going, the fact that you can actually do that to your own citizens, your own population, and kick them out of their housing because you have people in another country that simply don't want to be there anymore, they deserve the housing more. I don't understand that concept at all, and it's quite sad to me, to be honest with you, because we're seeing this more and more and more and more reports of this over there. And, I mean, this is another reason why I said, guys, Second Amendment is so doggone important. And I've repeated myself on that, and I'll repeat it again. There's a reason why we have it here, and it's going to come into play very soon in this country.
It's on the way. In fact, Sweden also has this migrant rape epidemic in Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
Is continuing. I mean, right now, you know, where did the peaceful, low-crime Sweden go? Sweden used to have one of the lowest crime rates in the world. I mean, people wanted to go to Sweden because basically it was like one of the safest countries in the world. Now it has a second highest rate incidences in the world. Remember, Sweden's only, there's not that many people there. And the last time I was there, we were in Oslo just a few years ago, and I was shocked because the first time that you and I went there, Austin, and gosh, back in the 90s, you know, it was all blonde hair, blue eyes, everything. In fact, you saw that one really little pretty blonde haired girl. I remember when we were in Sweden, and you thought, wow, that she's really pretty. I said, well, yes, she is. And the thing about it is, we didn't see that this time. The last time we were there, there's a whole bunch of people walking around. They have the head wraps on, the whatever you call those things. They have their faces in scarves and veils. I saw very, very few indigenous Swedes. And yes, the stereotype was true. It was primarily blonde hair, blue eyes in Sweden, but it's not anymore. The problem is, again, they've fallen into the complete quagmire of political correctness over there. And even though they're being raped by the hundreds over there now, they don't want to admit that any of this is going on. It's really, really, really kind of sad, Austin. It really is. I mean, it's tragic.
It is. And that's what I was saying before. It's just, I mean, it's really almost horrific that you're seeing this happen to, you know, the Norwegian population over there. I mean, in that entire area, is they held so true to their heritage, to everything for hundreds and hundreds of years. And now it's like, you know, the Islam invasion knows no bounds. And that's what we saw with the Crusades, as I've brought up before. I mean, there's a reason why people pushed so hard hundreds of years ago to suppress this Islamic invasion, because of what it does, what it promotes, how they treat other people that are not Islam. And, you know, and it's, a lot of people say, they always say I'm, you know, basically bashing Islam. Well, a lot of it I am, guys, because in my opinion, and I've stated this before on the record, it is a satanic religion. There is not one single thing that's biblical about it. It is a satanic culture and a satanic religion. And I mean, anytime you start telling people, if you don't agree with something or you don't convert to my religion, I have the right to behead you. You want to tell me that's a peaceful religion? You want to tell me that's a similarity to Christianity? Get out of here. I mean, love, of all things, love. That's what it says in the Bible. There's not one place that I've ever heard about the Quran talking about above all things love. It's not there. And so that's what this religion promotes, is basically destruction, death, and forcing people to do what you want them to do out of fear. And that's it. This is what it promotes. That's why I'm so adamant about trying to keep them out of the United States. And I know Trump is too, because this is not something that I want here in this country anymore. We already have enough of it.
That's right. That's right. Now, here's another article from Breitbart, and this is interesting too. You guys go to the website. This is a viral video showing members of the People Militia in Germany tackling an abusive Iraqi shoplifter. Has been watched over 250,000 times in just 24 hours since it was uploaded. And what happened is, this guy was running around. He already had two incidences with the police
you know, just a couple hours before the incident. Finally, the people there in Arnsdorf, Germany on Tuesday had enough of it, and three of these guys jumped him and zip-tied him, okay?
Good.
German police have now confirmed the incident, reports did that, and that the so-called refugee had already been the subject of police detention twice that day, but they let him go. Yeah, it sounds like the Mexicans coming across the border down south.
White.
On both occasions, he had been returned by officers to a psychiatric clinic where he was staying. Well, of course, he can say he's nuts. Police spokesperson says the officers are considering charging the migrant for his abusive behavior. But here's where it gets good. But they're also going to charge the three vigilantes for detaining him and for unlawful detention.
There you go.
There you go.
Yep.
That's, let them do what they want to do. Let them rape who they want to rape. Nothing to see here. Move on. Hey,
unlawful detention.
Guys, I know you hear me all over the world right now, and I know you're going to hear this. Look, guys, this is not the Germany that my mom used to tell me about or my grandfather used to tell me about. He was born in 1884 over there. This ain't it, okay? I don't know what in the world you guys are doing over there, but when I was there last month, this is not it. This is not what you were raised to be. I don't know what you've allowed your country to become, but you just let these people come in and rape your women and steal from you and do whatever they want to do, create this lawless society to try to turn Germany into the very hellhole they came from. Hey, guys, newsflash. You need to get a muzzle on these guys that are stopping everybody from talking, let everybody talk and tell the truth. You need to get rid of Angela Merkel. She needs to go. She needs to be out, and this whole pipeline of these immigrants coming in needs to be put a giant quash, and you need to get a bunch of C-130 transport planes and start taking these boys and loading them back up and hauling them back down to Africa and getting rid of them. This is not going to go well for you guys in Germany. These guys don't want to work. A lot of these guys are jihadists. A lot of these guys are basically military-trained personnel that have been brought in. Guys, it's going to get real, real negative there before it gets good unless you guys get rid of some of these guys. And that's my advice for my German friends. Well, there you go.
Yes, and you got to stand your ground. You got to get people collectively together. When you see individuals like this being charged with, you know, improper detainment or illegal detainment, whatever you were saying they were charging them with, people got to start coming together. You get a couple little rookie cops that think they're all headstrong and want to sit there and charge these guys with that when they show up for the police report. You get about 15, 20, 30, 40 other German boys that walk up saying, "Nah, I don't think I'm going to let you arrest them today." Like you said, in Tombstone. People have to start getting that direct about this, because there's absolutely no reason those guys should be charged for anything with the way this guy was handling himself. And he'd already been detained twice by law enforcement. I mean, he was a direct problem to society, and these guys did them a favor. I would have shook their hand and said, "Thank you, made our job easier. Now we can take him to jail easier. He already got zip ties on." So that's something you guys got to start stepping together on. But guys, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for your support. Healthmasters.com. You can go on there and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Also, two product of the week got updated today. I think it changed to the D3 10,000 with K2. It's actually on discount. So go on our website and check it out. Anything you want to close with, Dad?
Guys, we love you. We're back on with you tomorrow. Appreciate you listening to the show. Thank you so much. And just, it's wonderful having you guys as part of our life.